Back. So here we are at week two. How have you been in the last 7 days? I wonder what you learnt about yourself. I wonder what you noticed. I wonder how much further forward you are because of your clarity around what you want, as well as what you don't want in your life. What do you think about today's quote? Today's all about self-awareness. And the quote is, I free myself, not by trying to be free, but by simply noticing how I'm imprisoning myself in the very moment I'm imprisoning myself. I really like that quote because that's very much for me what self-awareness is about and what I'm hoping you'll find as well, that the way we can start to move forward is by noticing in the moment what it is we're doing that stops us or prevents us from moving forward. So before we get into week two's questions, exercises and sessions, I've got a recap session for you. And we're going to do this every single week. At the beginning of every session, there's going to be 20, 30 minutes. It's entirely up to you how long you take. But to recap on what you did in the session previously so that we can build on what you've started, what you've understood, what your challenges were, what your issues were. And of course, again, if you were in the class with me, you'd be taking the time to work with a buddy in the classroom or a trainee coach so that you could explore these questions and give them some consideration so that you can pick up what you need before we move into session number two. So please turn to your workbooks and turn this audio off and take a look at your, I think it's five questions I've got for you, which are all about what decisions did you make about keeping a journal, what drove that choice. It's important you take time to reflect on the answers. What made you choose to not do a journal, or what made you choose to do a journal? Just take some time out for yourself to think about your answers and write them down, please, whether you're keeping a journal or not. How clear are you now about goal setting? What does it mean to you and why do you want to do it? Having looked at those questions last week, having spent a week doing something about them, thinking about them, talking about them, what have you learned or how have you moved on? And if you're not clear, or if you haven't got how important it is to be clear, take time out now so that you are very clear about goal setting, what it means, how it's going to move you forward, so that we can use that today and in future sessions. And which areas of your life did you decide that you would like to work on? Ideally, you're going to choose one area and work through this every single week. And then you can redo that work with the next area of your life. So this is the ideal, that you'll select one area and use these sessions every single week to support you in achieving the goals that you want around that particular topic. So if it was career, taking career, we're going to break it down, help you become aware, set some interim journey goals, set some session goals, look at what your fears are, your problems are, what you procrastinate about, any other challenges. That's the ideal. However, if you want to include a second and a third goal, I know I said all this last week, then you can do that. But of course, your focus is going to be spread over two or three areas. And again, for some people, that's the way to work. For others, it could cause overwhelm or shut down. Please be aware of how you work and make a decision. You're going to work with one area of your life throughout the 16-week program, or you're going to work with one, two, or three areas. You need to make a decision about that. You can change it at any time. It's a completely flexible program. If something isn't working, stop doing it and do something that does work instead. So which area of your life did you decide that you would like to set a goal in? And if it was more than one, please be very clear about how you know that's going to be okay for you and your learning style. And then the last question I'd like you to talk to your partners about, or just write about if you're doing this by yourself. Have you started reading Who Moved My Cheese? If you did, then what did you notice about it? What did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about the people in your life? Did you recognize any patterns? Did you notice anything about fear from reading that little story, quick little story? Take that time, do that now, please, and then come back to this audio and we'll get started on week 2, exercise 1, which is all about getting to know you and how you operate. And you can use that again to continue with your journal writing and also to get clearer about your patterns and behaviours so we can get on and start goal setting. Take some time out now, please, and come back to me when you've finished answering those 5 questions as part of your recap session. Welcome back. So now that you've got some recap and some clarity on what we did last week, let's get you started on getting to know you. Now, the following exercise is aimed to give you greater self-awareness about yourself and to fill in your blind spot. And we're going to do more about Johari's window and the blind spot in later sessions. It's going to be an optional extra. This greater self-awareness work is all about helping you get clear about the areas of your life that you think you might need to improve in. And it can also help you with your confidence and your self-belief by identifying limiting behaviours that you can pick up on, put to one side, and then start working on when we get to the limiting belief section, as well as working on whilst you're focusing on what you want, so you can start to challenge limiting beliefs or doubts, and also that you can be just more aware of, so that you can act in the moment, knowing that you're acting in spite of a limiting belief or a doubt. So please turn to your workbooks, and it's exercise 1, week 2. And you'll notice that there's some questions around relationships with significant people. And the most significant person that you will be looking to work with first is yourself. And so that you'll see the first exercise is about getting to know you better. And then it continues by taking you into getting to know the other important people in your life better as well. And how have you got on with these significant people in your life? So if you take a look at that, and you'll check out there's mum and dad and other carers, etc. And it's a very straightforward exercise. I want you to score it on a scale of 1 to 10 on how you rate your relationship with those significant people in your life, starting with how you rate yourself and then moving into those other important people, as I've already said. This is very private. You don't need to share this with your partner or your buddy if you don't want to. You can just do this for yourself. In the classroom, you would do this as a personal exercise. It would be your choice if you decided you wanted to share it or not. Not everything needs to be shared. This is about self-awareness. And the scale marking is 1 means I didn't get on with them very well at all, and 10 means it was the best ever in terms of a relationship. So please mark those now subjectively. There is no right or wrong. It's not good or bad. It's purely for you to be aware of how you operate so that we can look at any patterns that might be holding you back from goal setting. Please do that now. Okay, welcome back. Take a look at your scores. If you've got anything less than 10 out of 10, which by the way is pretty regular, majority of us will have a score less than 10 out of 10. Some will be very low, some will be medium, some scores will be a little bit higher. But if it was less than 10 or 10, actually even if it was 10 out of 10, I want you to ask yourself, how do you know the score you gave yourself was true? So let's say you gave yourself a score of 7 out of 10 with your mum relationship, or dad, or brother, or sister, whoever it is, whichever one you want to work on first. But let's go with mum because it's the first one on the list. How do you know that's true? What makes it a 7? A 7's great. If it's a 2, it's great. If it's a 1, it's still great. You gave it a score. Something was working there. So what the point of this is, I want you to start focusing on the positive, because that's what coaches help their clients to do. So I want you to start going through and working out what made it the number you gave it. So if it was a 7 out of 10, as my example is, list down all the things that made it so great that helps you to understand why you subjectively gave it that score. And it would be a great idea to do this exercise with all of that list. But of course, if you didn't have a dad in your life, or a mum in your life, or an aunt or uncle, or brothers or sisters in your life, then obviously you can't do it with those. But if you did, Take the time to work through each one. This is going to take you some time, but it's a very important exercise because it'll help you get clearer about some of the emotional stuff, some of the buttons that might get pushed in you as we move through the program. It'll help you when we move on to choice as well. And it will help you when we start looking at fears and procrastination and messages and stories from the past that could prevent you from having the life you want. So I really recommend you stop this audio now and that you get clear about the numbers or what they mean to you. And I wouldn't move on to the next bit until you've done this. So please do that now and then come back and turn this on when you're ready. Okay, how'd you get on with that? So maybe that was more difficult than you expected, or maybe it was really easy. But now that you know what made it the score you gave it, what's missing? What would it need in order to make it, in my example, it was a 7 out of 10, what would it need to be an 8? And what would it need to be a 9? And then what would it need to be a 10. So I'd like you to select 3 significant people from your list. So it could be mum, dad, sister, mum, dad, brother. It could be mum, sister, but any combination, up to you. 3 significant people, most important people during your childhood and leading right the way through your teens and up to now as well. So most important people in your life in terms of relationships. And I'd like you to stop the audio again and get clear about what would make it an 8, 9 or 10. Or if you gave it a lower score, what would make it a 4, 5, 6, 7, etc. So some steps, because these are relationship goals. And we can use these as we move through the program to help you to become clearer about what you want in relationships. And also to help you understand some of the stuff that you might be transferring onto other people when you meet them. So you might be misjudging them in terms of your relationship with those people that you grew up with. So please take a time out and just get clear about what would make it an 8, 9 or 10 if you gave your score a 7, for example, with mum. Do that now, please, and then come back. Okay. So you're doing really well. Now, I didn't say this was going to be easy, by the way, but I so hope you're going to find it beneficial and enjoyable. But this is self-awareness week this week, and this is a personal development program. And in order to really progress with them, we've got to do a little bit of deep stuff. But it's not deep in terms of making you unhappy or sad. It's just you reflecting, taking time out to look at your relationships so you can understand yourself better and how you relate to others now as an adult. So now you've got your scores. Now you know what would make it even better. What were the traits or behaviours of those top 3 people that you really liked or admired? Stop the audio again and spend some time and just pull out. Doesn't matter how many traits, you might just want to pick out 1 or 2, or you might like to pick out 6, 7, 8, 9, more, whatever. It's entirely up to you. You are in control of this program. I'm just asking the questions. So what are the traits or the behaviours or traits and behaviours of each of those 3 people that you just listed and focused on that you really liked? Do that now, please. Okay, excellent. So now we know what you really liked. This one might be a little bit tougher. What are the traits or behaviours of each of those 3 people that you've picked that you didn't like so much or that stopped the relationship being the best it could be? Do that exercise now, please, before you move on. You're doing really well. So I mentioned last week NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And in NLP, as well as in some schools of psychology, there's a theory that the traits that we like and the traits that we dislike in other people are actually reflections of ourselves. Just take a moment and think about that. If you're new to personal development, that might be a surprise for you. If you're already involved in coaching or NLP, you will already have given this some thought. You'll have heard this theory before. But I wonder if you've looked at your close, significant relationships in terms of like, dislike, and it being a reflection of you. Take a look at your list. Where or when are you like the list of traits that you liked? So where or when? Where do you find yourself being like those particular traits that you highlighted? You should have anything between 3 and 20, I guess, for the 3 people. Where are you like that? When are you like that? So, for example, if you put down about, say, your mum, that she was loving and thoughtful and protective, and there were traits that you really liked, just stop and think, where and or when am I like that? In my relationships, in my life, where and or when? Take a little bit of time, turn this off, give that some thought, make some notes. This is the kind of stuff that's great for your journal, by the way, later in reflection. Just make some notes in your workbook and answer that question. And now you're back. Do the same again with the traits you don't like. Where or when do you catch yourself being like the traits that you listed that you don't like, or the behaviours you don't like? So maybe, again, going back to mum, maybe if you said she was critical, she was judgmental, and she didn't listen. Where and when are you like that in your current relationships or in your life in general? Take a moment now and reflect on that. Write something down about it, please, so that you've got it as a log in your workbook, in your journal, wherever it is that you're going to run this program from. Please do that now. Okay, ideally you've got someone that you're going to be working with. Ideally you've got a buddy or a partner or a coach that you can take this to. But I want you to ask yourself, what has that exercise done for you in terms of self-awareness? How has it helped you in general to understand yourself and your relationships with important people in your life? If you've got a coach, if you've got a buddy, take some time out to explore that. If you like writing, write about that in your journal. If you're not so keen on writing but you like talking, talk it into your computer. But start to offload, start to let out your learnings and your awareness. Because the awareness that you get from this, you can start to do something with it. You can start to improve and increase the areas that you like, bring more of them into your life. And the areas that you weren't so keen on, you can use those as a great prodder, as a great support system for you to do something about them. Because the other idea of this theory is, when there's no negative charge behind the traits or the behaviours that we don't like in others, in other words, when we work on them within ourselves, they don't bother us in other people so much. But because we see ourselves reflected in others, it bugs us that they do certain things. Because in our blind spot, we do them as well. We just haven't noticed. And people are too polite very often to tell us, unless it's a cross brother or sister or an angry partner who shouts something at us in an argument, but then might retract it later. So you may or may not like that theory, and it is just a theory, and it doesn't mean it has to be true for you. But if it was, I wonder if that might help you to be able to let go of some of the emotional stuff around relationships, if you started to work on yourself, on making more of the things you like, and working on letting go of some of the things that you don't like so much. So what kind of goals would you like to set to help you improve your relationships? Take some time and list them now. Relationship goals. What would you like to work on? And what's your priority? As you look at your relationship goal list, which one would you want to work on first? Highlight one. And as you look at the above, what limiting beliefs do you have about your ability to achieve these goals? We're going to do more about this in a later session. So you've got your relationship goals you'd like to work on. By the way, we're just gathering goals here so that you can select the most important ones, even though you chose three areas last week and in between. We're going to look at each area of your life in this way so that you can pull out what you'd really like to improve. And as I've said, you can work through this program on one, two, or three goals and then come back to it again. And if your list is still there and you still need to work on these relationship goals, the ones that you left this time, you can do the program again next time. This can be an ongoing developmental plan for you. And with the exercises that we've got, you can really achieve a huge amount. So as you look at the goals that you listed above, the areas that you'd like to improve, do you have any limiting beliefs about your ability to achieve them? By that, do you have any internal dialogue that goes, well, that's not going to be possible, or, well, they won't want to do that, or, I don't believe I can change, anything like that? Please take some time now and just answer that. Write down any limiting beliefs that you might have, because again, we're going to gather them and you can start to work on them one by one with this program, with your buddy, and with your coach. Okay, take some time now, please. Okay, so I wonder how you found that exercise. It would be really good, again, if you were in the class with me now, I'd be taking some feedback from you. I'd be asking you to share what you learnt, what you noticed, what you liked, what you didn't like, and what you'd like to do about that. What do you need? What support do you need? What resources do you need? What do you need to know more about you and or others? These questions I've just asked you, they're not written down anywhere, so you might even want to rewind a bit and write them down. They'd be great for you to look at in your journal. They'd be really good for you to do as part of your reflection and your feedback to yourself about that particular exercise. Please do that before you move on to exercise two, which is getting to know more about your fears. So do that now, please. Stop the audio and come back to me in just a minute. So how did you get on with the exercise? I wonder how you found those questions, whether they were helpful, challenging, difficult. Maybe they even started you in your journal. Well, it's time now to move into exercise two, which is getting to know more about your fears. And again, you need to be looking to set aside at least 30 minutes to really give this exercise the attention that it deserves and needs. So I want to ask you, in terms of asking people that you know for help, how would you score yourself? One means I can't, I wouldn't, I never would be able to ask for help. 10 means I find it really easy to ask people I know for help. How would you score yourself? Do it subjectively now, please. How do you feel about asking people you don't know for help? Again, scale of 1 to 10, how would you score yourself on that? And how would you score yourself on asking people that you do and people that you don't know for what you want? Asking for what you want, how would you score yourself on that? 1 being really low, 10 being absolutely no problem. Just take a moment and subjectively score yourself on that now. If you scored low on asking others for what you want or for help, what are your fears? What are your worries? What are your concerns about asking for what you want or asking for help, whether it's from people you know or people you don't know? Can you stop the audio now and get very clear about what is it you're worried about? What are you concerned about? What are you fearful about in asking others for help or asking others for what you want? What might happen? What could happen that would cause you to be fearful? Work with your buddy or write this down in your journal or write it in your workbook. But stop here and do that now, please. So, thinking about the three areas that you chose to set your goals on at the end of week one, do you remember you put three separate areas that you wanted to goal set on? Or thinking about goal setting in general, how might the fears, the worries, or the concerns that you've just written down interfere with you taking any action on your goals? Stop the audio again and get clear about how could these fears, worries, or concerns impact on or stop you from taking action on your goals. Okay, you're doing really well with this. Some deep work going on here. And again, the purpose is self-awareness and helping you understand your patterns and your behaviors. So how has looking at this helped you with your self-awareness around your fears? What have you come up with? What have you learned? What have you uncovered? What have you reinforced? What did you already know? What didn't you know that's perhaps of interest to you or use to you in terms of goal setting and old patterns? Write something about that now or share it with your partner or your buddy. Get clear about that now, please. Next question. Thinking about what you've just been writing about or sharing with your buddy, how could you use it? How could you use your answers and your information when it comes to setting goals? How could the awareness around your fears, worries, or concerns, or if you had none, fantastic, well done. But if you did have some, how could you use that information in a supportive way to help you when it comes to setting goals? Answer that question or share it with your partner, please, before you move on to the next question. And looking at your list, the list you just made of fears, worries, and concerns, which one of them is your priority to work on first? Please identify that now and then come back to the audio again and we'll move into the next exercise. So you've done quite a lot of work in this session so far. You've got much clearer about your relationships with significant others. You've also been given a little bit of information on NLP and how we might see in other people what we like or dislike in ourselves. You have also got more clarity around what kind of fears you might have around asking for help and how that could impact on you in terms of goal setting or getting what you want from this program. And now the third and last exercise that we're going to do together is about getting to know a little bit more about your patterns, and you'll see this in your workbook. And again, I recommend that you set aside about 30 minutes to do this exercise as well. So you'll see that there's a list of statements from I'm a perfectionist and I quit easily down to I make up stories, stroke lie, because it depends on how you look at it, and I'm impatient. I'd like you to take a few moments and read through the list. And again, let's work with the subjective part of your mind. Tick, circle, highlight, whatever it is that you prefer to do. The ones that really poke you hard. So they might hurt or they might cause you to be a little bit prickly. For example, if somebody said to you, you're a bit of a victim, you're always saying life isn't fair, what would your response be to that? Would you feel indignant? Would you feel insulted? Would you feel offended? Or would you go, actually, yeah, that's a bit true. That's true, actually. I've got that self-awareness about myself. I mentioned Johari's window to you previously. And when we get to look at it, it's going to be an interesting exercise because all of these exercises we're doing so far are building up towards the next exercise and the next one. But it's an interesting exercise because the idea is that our blind spot, it contains aspects of ourselves that we don't particularly like in others, but we don't know that we do this stuff. So the idea is, if somebody calls you a victim and you know that you're not, you might just think, well, that's about them, that's not about me, they're seeing a reflection there. Whereas if you feel angry and upset about it, it's possible there may be some truth in it. Now again, remember, this is a theory. I'm offering you a new perspective, a new way of looking at things. It doesn't have to mean it's true, but it's an interesting angle to pick up on, and I wonder if you're willing to look at it in that way. So if you look at some of these and they cause you any emotion, or they cause you to feel in any way indignant, they might be worth paying attention to, just marking them in some way, even if you don't think they're true. Because as we uncover more about ourselves, you just might find that there's some truth there, and you might find some answers in unpicking them and working through the statements that might cause you a little bit of discomfort. So I hope that explanation is making sense to you. The exercise is quite straightforward. I just want you to select and highlight the statements that you know are true about yourself so that we can start looking at some of your patterns. So please do that now. So as you look through this last exercise that we're going to do together, you'll see that there's some more questions there for you. Looking at your list, How do these patterns affect your life? So if you know that you're angry a lot and you pick that as one of your main areas to work on, how does being angry affect your life, your relationships, your communication, getting what you want, how making you feel good or not so good? So how do the patterns that you've highlighted as being ways of operating affect your life? I want you to, if you haven't done that already, I want you to stop this in a moment and go ahead and do that. And what do you get by holding on to being angry if you know it doesn't make you happy? And I'm using angry as an example here, okay? So what are the rewards and the benefits of staying angry? What do you get by keeping hold of it? Do you remember I mentioned secondary gain before and I said we'd look at it again? And secondary gain means you get more from holding on to the problem than letting go of it. So what would you say were the benefits of hanging on to anger rather than working with it and moving into a different emotional state? And then when you've listed the rewards and benefits, what are the negative impacts? So you're going to have great self-awareness around this, and from that you'll get choice, which we're going to do a session on in one of the future sessions. So you've got more choice now. You can go, well, these are the benefits of being angry. This is what I get from it. These are the negatives. Which do I prefer? What would I rather be? Angry and keep these benefits, or something else and not have so many negative impacts and be able to handle things, communication, people, situations in a better way. So how might keeping hold of the patterns that you've highlighted or circled above, how might keeping them negatively impact on the goals that you want or you're currently working on? So let's stay with anger. If you kept anger, if you decided, yep, I know what the benefits are, I know what the negatives are, but I'm going to keep hold of it, I don't want to work on it, I don't want to let go of it, how could that impact on the three goals that you've set? Would it? And if it doesn't impact negatively, then that's fine. But how might it? How might it impact on you achieving your goals if you hold on to these negative patterns? So please take each one of the patterns, ask yourself those questions against each one that you've listed, and you should have some amazing self-awareness by the end of this exercise. So please do that now, and then we'll move into the second part of this particular exercise. So turn this off now and come back in just a moment. Okay, well done. We're almost there. You're doing such a great job with this. So now you've got more clarity around your patterns, you'll see that there's a grid for you. And I'm going to ask you to have a look at, when do the patterns that you've identified show up most in your life? And I've put some examples there. I've put home and work and colleagues and love a partner, or with yourself. Now you might like to change those headings. And so if you do want to do that, stop this now and change the headings. But think about the areas of your life that the patterns might show up with. So it could be children might be in there, or there might be family in there, or you might have some other headings that you want instead of the ones that I've put on the top. So create your own grid, and along the top, as you see I've done, and then down the side, list your patterns, and then get clear about where does, for example, my being angry, where does that show up most? Is it most at home, most at work, most with your colleagues, most with your partner, or are you angry most with you? And I'm using my example as I talk you through that there, but you're going to create your own headings, and you might have different headings to the example that I've given you. So get clear about where these show up most in your life. Do that now, please, and then we'll come back. Okay, so now that you're aware of where these patterns show up and which aspects of your life, how do they show up? Do they show up in terms of voices in your head? You don't have to think that that's a negative thing. We all talk to ourselves, and some of us have a single voice and some of us have different voices that talk to us. We have a positive one and a negative one, and we can have other types of voices as well. And they don't have to be sounds. They don't have to be voices that we can hear outside of ourselves. They can be self-talk in different shapes and forms. So just check with yourself without worrying. When you're being angry, do you get a sound or do you hear a voice before you get angry. And remember, this is my example that I'm using to you. Or do you get a picture in your mind before you're angry at home or at work or with your partner? What do you get? How does anger represent itself to you? Or maybe it's feeling that you get first. Maybe you get something in the pit of your stomach and it starts, as one of my clients was saying, it starts to explode and then it goes off like a volcano for her. It moves from her stomach up through her chest into her throat, out of her mouth, and she's in anger before she realizes it. Or maybe you've got all three going on. And even if you have got all three, one of them will be the starting point. So look at your patterns and start to become even more aware about how they run you. Because at the moment, if you're not aware of them, they're running you rather than you running them. So get very clear about how you know when you start to feel, whether it's angry or a victim or any of the others that you might have highlighted. Please do that now and get very, very clear. And you'll see that there's a little bit more of information written down for you around what happens first. And I've got an example of frustration there for you. So read that through, get clear about it. And by doing this exercise, we're going to be able to get more clarity around the strategies around your patterns. And all that means is we're going to know the steps that lead up to how you actually operate. And when you've got this knowledge, you can interrupt those steps at any point. You can choose to interrupt them. But without knowing, then you can carry on being trapped by these patterns indefinitely. So this knowledge is going to give you more personal control, and it's very much used in NLP, and it's also part of cognitive behavioral therapy, and also it really steps up your emotional intelligence as well. And if you're interested in any of those topics, there's loads of books that you can read or find out more about those particular topics. So take some time and please get clear about your strategies and your patterns. That means the steps that take you from being okay into one of the operating patterns that you've already listed. So you're going to do this exercise for each of the highlighted patterns that you've put in your boxes in the previous exercise. Okay, please do that now and come back to me in just a few moments. Okay, so I want to check that you've covered all of the different aspects of that. So you were looking at your patterns, and then there was quite a bit of information to help you complete the exercise. And also, you'll see in there that there's a little bit about you are not your patterns, they're just behaviours. This is really important to remember. Important to remember about yourself, and important to remember when you're communicating with others, whether it's your children or your partners or your colleagues, if you manage a team, that it's not, they're not you. The behaviours are something that you do, but they're not who you are. And behaviours and patterns can be changed. You just have to be aware of them if you want to change them. So start to get clear about when you or others are running a pattern, so that you can actually acknowledge that it's just something that you do, that if you really don't like it, you can do something about it. And you'll recognise your patterns, you'll recognise they're running you when you have a reaction, an emotional reaction. So you have a physical feeling to someone or something that appears to be happening automatically. And it really feels like it's there really quick, like anger sort of erupts for a lot of people. And you'll think that there's nothing that you can do about it. You'll think that it's something that you can't control. But when you look at it in the way that you just have through that last exercise, you'll begin to realise stuff is going on inside that you didn't recognise, you didn't know was going on, which is why you weren't able to do anything about it before. But we have pictures, we have feelings, we have thoughts, we have chatter from inside that happens so fast, but it happens before we get angry or before we get upset or before we get bossy. We have a lot of stuff that's going on inside. So this exercise is to help you to become clearer so that with self-awareness, if you want to, you can choose to do something about it. You can unlearn any old unhelpful behaviours. And if you're interested in learning more about choice, then it's a really great idea to read Viktor Frankl's story, Man's Search for Meaning. It's quite an emotional story, so you may decide that you don't really want to read that. But it's really great to share information about choice and how mind over matter can actually be achieved, even when the most awful things are going on in our lives. And it's very much based in World War II and Viktor Frankl's mental attitude and his ability to choose how he responded to a situation rather than just reacting, and how that helped him get through the most awful, awful experience. But if that sounds a bit heavy to you, and it is, then you might prefer to read Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And that covers some information on response versus reaction. And it also offers you some exercises to support you with your changes. So the exercises that I've introduced you to should really help you to get clear about how you feel about your life, both in the past and the present. And I know you know that coaching is not about the past, but as the past can and often does affect the present, personal awareness through these exercises can really help you with your old behaviours, your fears, your habits that you might want to address in coaching so that you can move forward with your goals. But you wouldn't be bringing them in the way you would to maybe counselling or therapy, where you'd need to understand why with your coach. But these exercises can allow you to explore the past personally, privately, so that you can be aware of what's going on when you bring your goals and your coaching session is helping you to move forward, and these fears come up or these patterns come up. You'll be able to go, I recognise that and I want to work on that in my coaching session. How do I move on from it? So I'm not going to go back and explore in detail in my coaching session, but I'm going to explore with my coach, how do I move on from this pattern that's just popped up whilst I was talking to my coach about my goal. So I know I've said this before, but please, if you haven't got yourself a positive buddy or a positive friend who doesn't tell you what to do, or you haven't got yourself a coach, see if you could find someone to just even have a go at working through this program with them, because the results will happen even quicker. So we're at the end of exercise three in week two, and we're also at the end of our week two session. And you'll notice in your workbook I've got a tip there for you, and also information on what we're going to be doing next week. You've also got a recap there, which is all about identifying and understanding your old behaviours and patterns so that you can make choices around them. Identifying fears and secondary gains so that you can work out, do I want to keep these behaviours or do I want to let go of them? You've got some support so that you can identify priorities for goal setting. And this will all help you to understand how you might have sabotaged goals in the past, because you might not have even realised you had these fears operating you. And also, we've been looking at how you can recognise your strategies. I'm going to do more with that in a future session. And this is about stretching you this session today, because it's quite challenging what you've done. But it's about stretching you to move you out of your comfort zone, what you do without even thinking, so that we can get you aware of what you do, so that we can stretch you and move you into a newer and more energetic realm and zone. And what you've done today is a start to change your life for the better. So as you go down your workbook or through your workbook, you'll notice that there are some exercises for you to do. And so I've got some questions here for you, and you're going to have different questions at the end of every session, every single week, to help keep you on track with the work that we've been doing together, which I encourage you to pop onto cards, onto pieces of paper, somewhere where you can see them. But I want you to ask yourself these questions on a daily basis. And I mentioned this in week one, that there will be some things that you'd be encouraged to do on a weekly basis. So if you turn to your workbooks, you'll see that this week's questions are, what are my daily, regular thinking habits or behaviours? You just got to notice them. And that means use your awareness exercises from above to support you in deciding what that actually means to you. But what are my daily, regular thinking habits or behaviours? So from when you get up to when you go to bed, are you more likely to be in a positive mindset? Or do you have some negative mind chatter? Do you have some limiting beliefs around your ability to do things? Do you have any fears or worries or concerns or anxieties? Do you blame other people for what goes wrong? Do you find yourself angry most of the time or some of the time or at least once a day? What are your daily regular thinking habits or behaviours? And from the exercises you've done today, which of the patterns that you've highlighted, do you catch yourself doing every or many or most days? So again, you can use the work you've just done to help you with these questions in your over the next 7 days. So which ones do you notice you do most? And overall, what's your mood when you get up throughout the day and before you get to bed? Do you find you're quite level? Do you find you're quite happy? Do you have mood swings? Do you sulk? Do you get angry with yourself? So what's your overall mood? Again, we're continuing and building on the self-awareness work that we started. And is the question above a regular habit? So the overall mood, is it a regular habit or is it a new habit because you're thinking about it? So put these questions onto 4 or 5 small cards, place the cards in your environment where you can see them easily, and make sure that you spot them throughout the day so that you're reminded at least 4 or 5 times, because you can do it in 4 or 5 cards, at least 4 or 5 times throughout the day, you're going to remind yourself about these questions to bring what you do into your conscious awareness. And then at the end of each day, take 5 minutes, reflect on what you've noticed throughout the day, and then write in your journal or your workbook anything that backs up what you've discovered from the exercises that we've just been doing. And then what you can do is write any changes that you'd like to make on a goal sheet. So create a goal sheet or in your goal book. Now, if you haven't got a separate book from this workbook, I mentioned you'd need one, get yourself a separate book where you can start to put down your goals, what it is you want, and capture them every single week, because you'll probably have goals come up from every session. And then you're going to learn how to prioritize them so that you can work on 1, 2, or 3, as we've already discussed previously. Now, I mentioned Johari's window. If you're interested in doing a bit of optional extra work, you'll see that there's a list of qualities and characteristics. There's quite a few of them there. And you'll see that there's instructions for you to select 5 or 6 from a positive list and from a not so positive list. And then there's a great exercise for you to do if you feel up to it. You give the list to your family members, your colleagues, your friends, etc. And without telling them your choices, ask them to select the 5 or 6 different words that they think describe you. And then you can draw your own Johari's window. And you'll see I've given you an example of that. And map onto the Johari's window, onto the grid, what it was that you thought described you and what you noticed others, this is only trusted people, partners, kids, people who may be best friends who you really trust, who will tell you what they think. This is a hard exercise to ask other people to do for you. But just see what they say and whether it matches how you see yourself or whether there's some discrepancies. And then what you can see is, how do you feel about the choices, about their choices compared to yours? And do you feel indignant about any of them, or do you think any of them aren't true? All of this is about filling your blind spot. You see, even though it's important what you think about yourself, it's always useful to know how other people see us as well. And that can be very supportive in the work that we're going to do together. But we're only asking people that we trust and love, who we know there's no agenda with. They're just telling us how they see us. And then I want you to look at, what did you learn about how others see you? You might have some surprises in there, or you might go, it was exactly what I thought. And then in your journal, how might you, this information that you've come up with, how might you find it useful to support you on the journey that we're going to do together? Now, I've run through that really fast, but the instructions are clear in your workbook. Hope you enjoy them. Please make sure that you answer those questions every day as well. And if you didn't finish any of the exercises whilst we were working through this workbook together, please go back and do them now. It's important that that's done before we move into the next week, because we'll be going on to a different aspect of self-awareness and moving into goal setting. So once again, I send you love and care, and I wish you a great week, and I'll look forward to joining you in your home again in a week's time. Take care.